You're listening to Chats by Rotaract Australia,
where we bring Rotaractors together to inspire, educate and collaborate.
Hey guys, welcome to the Chats by Rotaract Australia podcast. My name is Laura Telford and I am the acting chair of Rotaract Australia. And on this very special episode, I am super excited to be chatting to the Rotaract Oceania MDIO Chair, Becky Giblin. Welcome to our podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I mean, we record these online and I thought, well, let's extend that a little bit further and talk to our lovely friends in the Pacific and New Zealand Rotaract space. So thank you so much for coming on. Are you able to kick us off and tell us a little bit about yourself personally, and then in the wild world of Rotaract?
Oh, goodness, no pressure. Personally, I am 26 and I grew up in Fiji, and that's actually where I started my Rotaract journey in my hometown in Nandi. And I am currently stuck in lockdown in Auckland for week number, who knows, I stopped counting after six.
Yep, same.
Working in healthcare. So yeah, it's been 4 years now since I moved across to Auckland, and I dove immediately into the Rotaract space because I needed something to do. And yeah, going on year eight in Rotaract. I feel old.
Look, I feel like in this part of the world, 8 years is a long time in our organization. So yeah, definitely one of the senior members across Zone 8. But tell us, how did you first get involved in Rotaract?
I actually got sought out. So my joining Rotaract story was a bit strange. A friend of mine was a part of the chartering of the Rotaract Club of Nandi New Horizons. And he and a bunch of his friends from that club showed up at an event that I was hosting because a group of friends and I had decided that we were going to fundraise to raise money for something that we started called the Samson Trail Heart Appeal, which was essentially started because a friend of mine's cousin was born with a hole in his heart. And open heart surgery is not something that you really do in Fiji. So we were fundraising to send him to India. And on a side note for that, it went really well. We raised all the money we needed in the space of three events. And we threw barrel nights, which are essentially you buy a whole bunch of beer kegs and throw a party. And everybody pays $20 to drink as much as they can until the beer is gone. Fiji fundraising at its finest. It's amazing. And between that and raffles and sponsorship support from the amazing community that we were a part of, we were able to send this little boy and his dad all the way to India for the surgery that he needed. Flights, accommodation, everything, it all got taken care of. And the Nandi Rotaract Club was like, all right, so come along to a meeting because you need to come and do that with us. And yeah. My friend Fano just was like, this is going to be everything to you. You have to come. And so I walked into Rotaract and went, oh, okay, so this is where I'm supposed to be. Yeah.
Excellent. I love that. It's always nice when you come into a place and you're not really sure why you're there, but after a little while, it becomes really clear.
Yeah. It's like, oh, this feels like where I belong. And I love the space. I love the work that we get to do in Rotaract and everything I've gotten to do from there. But because of starting where I did in Fiji, where there was so much need, so obvious to us, I got to experience all of these really incredible moments, really into my Rotaract journey, that's made the rest of it super easy. I don't know that everyone gets to be that inspired so early in.
Yeah, definitely. And I think of when you're in Australia even and you think of doing international projects, we fundraise sometimes for projects across the Pacific, but a lot of Rotaractors and Rotarians don't actually get to do the boots on the ground part of it. And I guess being able to do that part right from the beginning must be so incredible to see that the effort that we put in is actually really making a difference.
And it absolutely does. And I think that that's something that Rotaract here in New Zealand and hopefully in Australia, maybe we could work on together, because the Pacific is really in our backyard. And so there is this need, there is all of these incredible projects that are available. And, you know, when COVID decides to figure out when it's going to go bye-bye, I'd really like to see the opportunities created through Rotary and Rotaract to give our Rotaractors some of that hands-on experience. Because I got to take a group of 7 Rotaractors to Fiji with me after being here in Auckland for 8 months. We went back to Fiji for our district conference. And it just so happened that while we were there, we were there for a week and we had a cyclone the day we arrived and the day we left. So the timing was incredible.
Yeah.
And because of that cyclone, we had floods. And so I got to take these 7 Rotaractors who were from all over the world, like Lebanon, Zimbabwe, and Nigeria, and New Zealand, and Tonga, and Turkey as well. Like, we had a really odd mix of Rotaractors with us. And we got in a van and went out with local Rotarians and Jennifer Jones, who I think she was immediate past vice president at the time. She had a number of titles, but the Jennifer Jones. And we all went out and we delivered flood aid to these families. We had, you know, food packs, emergency response kits, water, all sorts of things. And all of these Rotaractors who were not prepared for this at all. And when I say they weren't prepared, one of our members was wearing a completely white dress. No, they were not ready for what we were getting into. And, you know, we spent hours on end delivering stuff. We didn't have a whole bunch of food or anything with us. Everything was shut. There was no power in these places that we were in, but they got to see all of this need and feel like they were really making a difference. And they got to see what it was like to see that Rotary symbol in these really devastated places. And my MDIO Secretary Sean still talks about that being his Rotary moment. We got to take them to a place called Kore Pita, which started as a Rotary project. And we got to show them that. And we took them through a slum area beforehand, like a settlement, where people would live because they had nowhere else to go. And then we took them to the settlement that Rotary had built and was trying to house these people in. And they got to see the contrast and the difference that it made in the type of living that these people were able to experience. And that sold them. And I know that for Sean, he will still talk about that being the reason that he considers it his Rotary moment. And I love that. I love that we were able to give him that. And I'd love to see us do more of that type of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's not admin in a club or, you know, squabbling about what project we're going to do or, you know, what Facebook post we're going to put up. It's at the end of the day, we're all here because we are wanting to make a genuine difference in the world. And in some of the most devastated places on earth, when cyclones come through or floods come through, those places are very, very close to Australia. So definitely there's some opportunities there when COVID dies down a little bit further. You are the current chair, or shall we say the inaugural Rotaract Oceania chair. Tell us a little bit about Rotaract Oceania and how it came to be.
Rotaract Oceania was born of the need to centralize resources because we are such an odd mix of area for our districts down here that include the Pacific and New Zealand. Because there is quite a big difference between the way Rotary works in New Zealand and the way it works in the Pacific, and then the way it works around the world. And so while I was in International Assembly up in San Diego in 2020, the DG of my district and District 9940 got talking about how we needed to find something to help Rotaract. And so we decided that an MDIO was the obvious choice. And we wanted to build something that would help our members in this region. We wanted to be able to give them a platform to see the wider world of Rotaract, to be able to access it and access better tools and resources. And we wanted to make sure we could provide those for them. And because I'm a Pacific Rotaractor who's based in New Zealand, it was something that seemed like a very natural fit for me to go into and sort of make a mark in. And I loved it. It was incredible to get to be a part of, but it was so much work. Inheriting an MDIO is an incredible thing and it comes with insane responsibilities. Building it up from the ground was exhausting. And I don't think any of us realized what we were getting into. But when we found our footing, ironically, in a project space, which we hadn't considered really that being our area of focus, but when we decided to take on a project, which was called Move for GECAF, Move for Rotary Give Every Child a Future, and we realized what we were able to do with the MDIO, the shape of Rotaract Oceania was born. And actually this weekend, my team is coming together to do a complete rewrite of who we are as an organization, what our mission is and vision, and how we want to move forward and make Rotaract in our region sustainable. It's morphed. It's only been a year and, oh gracious, 9 months since this all started. But a lot's happened.
Definitely. And so are you able to give us an understanding of how big Rotaract Oceania is when you look at, you know, we've got Australia, we've got many, many district Rotaract representatives who have a well-established area, and Rotaract Australia has an executive. This year we've got a non-executive team. Put Rotaract Oceania in comparison.
We're tiny. So Rotaract in our region is not huge, but we are very passionate. And I think my team reflects that. There's essentially a team of 6 of us, one who is a non-exec and the rest are execs. We have Sean, who is our treasurer and secretary, both because he's incredible at them and because nobody wants to do the treasurer role. So he took them both on.
Yep.
He is my right-hand man. He's going to be following me as chair next year, and I'm super excited for him. There is Funga Umiviti, who is from Fiji and who's also a New Zealand-based Rotaractor. She's our incredible international liaison, and she also helps me manage social media because we, again, don't have a huge team. And we have Byron, who is the country rep from the Cook Islands, who's helping with the tech side of things and running things out in the Pacific. And Ariana Andrews, who is from New Zealand, who's our country rep here, who's stepping into the learning and development space and training and all of that fun stuff. And Mavi, who is our incredible Rotaractor from the other side of the world, who decided that she was incredibly passionate about the team that I was building and the work that we were doing and said, how can I help? And we were just like, yes, she is our marketing and graphics expert. And she, from the other side of the world, makes all the difference to all of our campaigns.
Look, I mean, I feel like the outsourcing of that is a little bit cheating, but I think you frame it very nicely when you say that you tap into our international community, because at the end of the day, we have been meeting online for many, 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 many months over COVID. And, you know, we could be sitting in the rooms next to each other, or we could be sitting on the other side of the planet. And if our goals and our what we are hoping to achieve is the same, then what should it matter where we are geographically based? And I really love that that's your approach to getting things done.
Absolutely. And I think it's kind of beautiful. And my favorite sentiment, and one that I think is going to be our next speaker session at this rate, is Rotaract without borders, because essentially COVID has taught us that there is no real issue stopping us from collaborating. We can be on the other side of the world and working on the same goals. We can find inspiration behind the same projects and feel the need to be a part of them, even if it's something that you'll never be able to physically touch. And the work that we did with Move for GECAF was one that has amazed me over the last year, and see, you know, there's, I think, between the two different runs, we've had about 28 different countries come on board and be a part of our Move for GECAF project. And that to me just blows my mind, because in no other way could I foresee Rotaractors doing push-ups in the fields in Jamaica, doing yoga on the beach in Florida and South Africa, dancing in the streets of Uganda, running through Denmark, and, you know, kids doing projects for us in the Netherlands. It's amazing. And all of these different Rotaractors around the world were inspired by a single cause and came together and threw their support behind my team. And so when Mavi was willing to come to the table and work with us, my team's response was, yes, absolutely. There's nothing in the world that would stop us from wanting someone to bring their incredible skills to the table.
Definitely. Absolutely. Now, I know that your MDIO is certainly focused on projects, but I have a membership question for you. And that is, how do you build a good club culture, whether that's a Rotaract club or whether that's an MDIO group of people? What do you think is important in building that good club culture?
That's a really difficult question because I feel like it shifts so much depending on what group you're working with. But the biggest thing for me, especially when it comes to my team and my MDIO, is making sure that everyone not only feels valued in the space, but is actively working on something that they want to be working on. You know, we talk a lot about being voluntold in Rotary and the organization and feeling forced into positions simply because there's no one else to take that space. One of the things that we're trying really hard right now, especially as we try and grow Rotaract in the region, is finding out what it is exactly that somebody wants from the space and finding a way to make that experience possible for them. Rotaract shouldn't have to be this terrible, you know, slog through administration and rules and regulations and, you know, politics. Yes, our leaders are always going to have to play politics. There's always going to be those moments. But as long as we make sure that the moments of inspiration, passion, and excitement and fellowship outweigh those, I think that the membership experience should never have to just become work.
Look, I love that answer. And I think if we can all take a little step back from the admin grind and remember why we were doing this and why we signed up in the first place, I think those late night emails and those late night planning sessions make it a little bit easier.
They're certainly the things that get me through them.
Yeah. And so as a leader, what do you value in your team?
So many things. And I think about this a lot. I'm actually thinking about this a lot as we go into this weekend, because I'm so excited to see my team again and be able to reach out and go, hi, you're a real human. But I think I value their honesty and their input in everything. I value the fact that while I sit in the space as a leader, they're not afraid to question things. Also, that they come into the space willing to work. I think the fact that when we take on these leadership roles, there is an understanding that we're making a commitment, both in time and energy, and sometimes funds, to be a part of something. And so each of my team members, when they come into the space, they're very open about what is too much for them. And we're trying really hard to make sure that we're building a culture in our organization where we're not burning out each other and we're good, like we're close enough friends that we're able to tell each other when something is becoming too much. Because I never want to feel like we're so pressured to be here and in this space that we can't admit it's too much.
Yeah. And I think, you know, with any kind of team, open communication is so important because, you know, if COVID has taught us anything, it's that life happens and things unexpectedly crop up, you know, and you have the best laid plans and intentions. But if you are able to communicate the unforeseen challenges when they arise, then I think it doesn't change the outcome necessarily, but it makes the challenge and working through the challenge that much easier because people understand what's going on. So that's definitely true. Now, one thing that we have started in the last few months in particular is a really strong and open collaboration between Rotaract Australia and Rotaract Oceania. Where do you see our collaborations going to in the future?
Honestly, the sky is the limit. I think Rotaract Australia, because you have been around longer than us, you have some things that you can teach us when it comes to the training side of things and building up a team and a foundation for yourselves. I think that that is something that we're going to be able to share resources on in that sense. And I also hope that Rotaract Oceania will be able to bring some inspiration and energy to your Rotaractors around the projects and the bigger picture of Rotaract on the international stage. We sat at Rotoract Oceania intending to give our Rotoractors access to the wider world of Rotoract. And we've had a lot of help from World of Rotoract and the fact that I was able to be such an active participant at International Assembly in 2020 and build this network. But we'd like to be able to give that back to you guys and sort of make all of these international resources that have been given to us as an incredible gift available to you. And hopefully that's something that will lead to further collaboration and bigger projects and more engagement and a better partnership in the future. I know that there's always a little bit of competition, Cross-Stitch, you know, we're always a little bit, this is more important, no, this is more important. And I think that as chairs, you and I sort of came into this going, this is all a huge thing, but we're just going to figure it out. And where you can help me, great. And where I can help you, great. And I think as long as we're able to keep up the communication the way that we have it now, the sky's the limit.
Absolutely. And I think my hope for our collaborations is that you do bring that inspiration and, you know, thinking about things slightly differently. And there are lots of different challenges that our districts and District Rotoract representatives face across Australia, because what's happening in Sydney is so different to what's happening in Perth. And the way that you guys have to interact, not only across New Zealand, but across your 14 Pacific islands or Pacific countries, I should say. The way that you approach things, I think, is really exciting. And so I'm really excited about what the future holds. We don't know what that necessarily is going to look like. We have lots of exciting partnerships and the idea of regionalization, whatever that might look like in the future. I think Rotoract is definitely leading the way by proving that, you know, there's a lot of talk that can happen, but if you start doing the actions, the talk will also follow. So my final question to you is, what is your one piece of advice to Rotoractors as they start the new calendar year, potentially thinking about taking on new roles? What is your advice to them?
Rotoract is a really big organization, and there are lots of different places that you could sit in it. And if you're feeling like what it is that you're working on right now isn't necessarily inspiring you to want to be in that space, make it known and find what's right for you in the organization. There are so many different opportunities that can be made available to you by simply being a Rotoractor. And as long as you're willing to ask the question and ask for help, people will make it happen, whether it's a Rotoractor, a Rotoract leader, or a chair of an MDIO, or a Rotarian in your district. There are roles and opportunities to learn and grow and get experiences. And as long as you're willing to be in that space and ask the question, something will come from it. And never be afraid to ask. Because, I mean, you know, we started in polio now because one Rotarian stood up at a convention and said, hey, what are we doing? We started Move for GCAF because I picked up the phone. And, you know, almost $30,000 later, 28 countries and space of a year, we've done something kind of incredible.
Definitely. And I think one thing that you always say to me is, if you hear the word no, do it anyway, or find someone who will say yes.
Yeah, it may not be, you know, the person that you think it's going to be, but honestly, if there's something that you're passionate about and you're driven to make a difference in, there will be somebody in the Rotary world that will help you. You know, 1.2 million Rotarians, 500,000 Interactors, 250,000 Rotaractors, someone's out there.
Definitely. And how can people find out more about Rotoract Oceania?
So you can jump on our socials. We are at Rotoract Oceania on both Instagram and Facebook. Instagram is our most active thing. We are also in the process of designing a website, which will hopefully be going live at the end of this year and has taken more of my time than I'd like to admit. Yep. Or you can just email us at rotoractoceania@gmail.com. Send us something that you're struggling with and you want to make a difference in for a project. We would love to hear about it and would love to help in any way that we can.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Becky, for sharing your thoughts and feelings and experiences with the Chats by Rotaract Australia podcast. Thanks so much, Becky.
Thanks for having me.
Don't forget to subscribe to Chats by Rotaract Australia on your favourite podcasting channel and like, share and comment on the RA socials.